Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like... Time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room.
You gotta come on, guys.
Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
Good morning, everyone. It's Todd.
And Julie.
With Chrissy Confessions. So it's already been a day today.
Yes, it has.
I have been up since 6 a.m.
Yes.
My phone has not stopped with text, with emails, and everyone else needing someone to wipe their own ass.
Yes.
And you're sitting here going through your phone right now.
Yeah, so, dealing with another issue, but that's okay.
So, you know, folks, it literally every day it is something new. And, you know, it's not our family. It's every person that we talk to, every friend that we have has got something going on with a child or an in-law or a grandparent or something to do with COVID. You know, you name it, it's going on. And it caused me to think this morning as I was coming here for the podcast that we don't prioritize our own selves enough. Because there has to be a point to where we as an individual says, enough. I've done all I can do. I've hit my wall today. I've reached my limit, and there is no more of me to give to you. So if you're running your life based on, you know, someone else's reserves, then you're in trouble. At that point, when someone decides to wake up and say, no more, then you're shit out of luck. And it's okay to say no. It's okay to say, you know what, that's not working for me anymore. So therefore, I'm no longer willing to continue doing something that I'm uncomfortable in doing or that I don't really have time to do or that I don't believe in, you know, whatever. It's one thing to help someone out, but when you have to keep doing it and they've gotten comfortable in letting you do it, then you have to say, no, peace out, done, I'm not doing this anymore. That's kind of where I've gotten to. There's only so many hours in the day. And when I tell you, I work anywhere from 12 to 16 hours a day. And it just never stops. I wake up to emails from the West Coast. Todd, can you do this interview? Todd, you know, what do you think about this show idea? What do you think about this? And then I've got all these kids, you know, Daddy, can you do this from air? Daddy, can you help me with this? Daddy, what should I do with this? Here's a concept for you. Figure it out. That's what you can do. You can figure it out. Because I have learned that people will literally allow you to do as much as you are willing to do for them. And I, as of today, have placed a lot more boundaries in my life, and I will no longer keep doing that. You know, I had a Facebook message that came in that I was reading this morning, and it came in yesterday, and it was talking about Chrisley Christmas Fan Box and how they could get on the wait list. And folks, when we decided to curate this box, you know, I thought it would be a great thing that we would be able to put together some great items that you guys would love and, you know, make it special. Because if it, you know, we want to kind of do it like, you know, maybe every couple of months or, you know, maybe every quarter, you know, we curate a box of things that we're using or that we love or products that are coming from Do Good companies. And, you know, you guys subscribe, you buy the box and hopefully, and, you know, you're getting these things at way less than what if you had to go pay retail for them. But we were only going to do like so many boxes. You know, I think that, you know, when I agreed to do this, you know, I said, listen, let's just do 2,000 boxes and, you know, to start out with and make it special. And we posted it yesterday to go ahead and register for the wait list. And right now we have a wait list of over 40,000 requests for these boxes.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
I mean, and we're not going to be able to do 40,000 boxes. We're not going to be able to fulfill 40,000 boxes. So, you know, I guess what I'm saying to you is that whomever is going to be chosen, I think they called us yesterday and said, you know, listen, we can get you up to 5,000 boxes. But after that, you know, we don't know that we can fulfill that many boxes. So, you know, we've had to reach out to the companies that we wanted to put in these, you know, 2,000 boxes and said, do you have enough product to put in these additional boxes? And so, you know, there's going to be a couple of golden tickets in there that are going to be very special golden tickets. And when you get your golden ticket, and there's only a handful of those, it will tell you what that golden ticket can be used for. And I think you guys are going to be very, very happy with that. It's going to be like Santa coming soon.
I wanted to let you guys know of some amazing jewelry that I've been wearing on the show. It's made by a company called Orate. Orate is fine jewelry made in New York City, founded by women for women. Their pieces range from classic to statement to completely original. Orate makes the jewelry you've always wanted but could never find. Their gold feels substantial and the diamonds sparkle and shine. Such high quality and so beautiful. I have been wearing some amazing gold hoops. I've been wearing them on the show. They are super comfortable. And I love the fact that I can keep them on, whether I'm showering, whether I'm working out, sleeping. Super comfortable and amazing quality. Orate sells directly to you without the middleman markup, and they can offer the same quality as traditional Fifth Avenue brands at a fraction of the cost. They've truly hacked the jewelry market. Orate is ethically made in New York City, empowering women with the best jewelry options without sacrificing style. It was started by two friends during brunch when one got a green finger from an overpriced ring, and it sparked the conversation of how they were just truly fed up with the traditional jewelry market. So I love my pieces. I can't wait to get more. And I also love the fact that Orate gives back. For every piece of jewelry sold, a child in need receives a book to further their education. They also donate 20% of their proceeds on every bamboo collection order launching September 30th. They are donating, finding different ways to save the rainforest and just to give back and conserve. So I love that. It's not only a company made by women for women, but they're also giving back to the environment, giving back to our children. So go check out Orate. For 15% off your first Orate purchase, go to oratenewyork.com/CC and use promo code CC. That's AurateNewYork.com/CC. So AurateNewYork.com/CC.
You know, so we've been working on that, and that's a process. And then Savannah's cosmetic line, Sassy by Savannah, launches next month. Trying to finish up all the details on that, trying to finish up all of our, you know, houses and things that we've got going on with, you know, within each other's homes and contractors and whatever. And then you, Julie, you went back in for your checkup, you know, as you always do regarding your breast cancer and whatever, and you decided to go in and change your implants.
Yeah, I was having some minor issues, and I think it's kind of ironic that we're talking about it because, you know, it's October, it's right. Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and yes, so I did that. So I had that done on Friday. So I'm just a few days out, but I'm feeling great and everything is good. It's just one of those things that, you know, needed to be done. And so I did that. But while we're talking, I think we do need to talk about breast cancer awareness.
Right.
We have always been vocal. I have always felt like Chrisley Knows Best gave me a voice to talk about my experience. You know, I was diagnosed with breast cancer in March 2012. Since then, I have tried to talk about, tried to tell people, you know, early detection, have your mammograms, stay on top, know your body, because 1 in 8 women are diagnosed with breast cancer. And that statistic is so high. And, you know, I think that, you know, early detection is still the key. I was actually reading an article this morning about Olivia Newton-John. You know, she's been dealing with breast cancer for almost 30 years.
Yes.
I think it's 27, about 27 years to be exact. And now she lives with metastatic breast cancer. And she has taken an all-natural approach. She does a lot of cannabis. Her husband also does a lot of all-natural with plants. And so he's on this journey with her. But, you know, she was just talking about how she was friends with Kelly Preston, mm-hmm. who passed away, and John Travolta's wife, and just how, you know, there's so many different options today to help women. And I think it's amazing. I mean, she's been battling this for 27 years, which I cannot imagine.
But she kept going in and out of remission.
Yes. She went in and out of remission.
So she hasn't been battling. She hasn't had metastatic breast cancer.
Not for 27 years.
Right.
No, but I think it came back in 2017, right. if I'm not mistaken. That was and she had like a 13-year span where she was good.
Right.
You know.
And they found that in her spinal, column or something.
Lower back.
Lower back, right. So,
you know, I think that's the thing, is that it's always in the back of your mind. And I think when you hear these stories, it causes you to live in fear somewhat. Mm-hmm. And I think people have to realize that everyone is different. Everybody's breast cancer is different. Everybody's body is different. But I think if anything, I think what I want people to hear is just go get your mammograms. Don't put it off, because putting it off can be a difference between life or death. Putting it off can be a difference between having to do chemo and not having to do chemo. You know, I always, I think about my dear friend Lisa Bowling, who lost her battle to breast cancer, and she and I met. Our children went to school together, and breast cancer, you know, kind of brought us together, because I was going through it. She went through it like a month later. So I always think about her, especially during this time. So go get your mammograms.
You know, let's talk for a second about, you know, how people process the diagnosis of breast cancer.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember that day as if it happened this morning. And I still have flashbacks from that. And I still, as you know, struggle with the what ifs, even though, I mean, to the point that your doctor said, Todd, you cannot place her body under surveillance, because I was having you go in to have all this scanning done and whatever, because, folks, I live in such fear that the only woman I've ever loved in my life that, and listen, here's where I am with it. We all have an expiration, and God is going to call us home at some point. And I remember when we first got married, I used to say, I hope I die before you. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And then I realized years later that I loved you so much that I would be willing to withstand the heartache of being here without you, just so that I knew I had taken care of you up until the day God called you home. Do you remember us having that conversation?
Yes.
And folks, I know that if something were to happen to Julie, that I would survive. But it would only be to get up and put one foot in front of the other, because my life as I have known it, and the only life that I care to even remember, is based around Julie. And, you know, yes, I would have Chase and Savannah and Grayson and Kyle. I would have them. But they have their own lives. Grayson, you know, is now in ball all the time and doing all of his stuff. And, you know, you've got Savannah and Nick and Chase and Emmy and Kyle and Ashley. You know, they have their lives. And I would not want them to worry about, well, did Daddy eat today? Or did somebody check on Daddy? You know, I wouldn't want them to do that. So I would live my life, but it would just be a eking out an existence because that's how dependent I am on her presence. And so I've made peace with that, but I look at, you know, and we've talked about what I'm getting ready to say, and you and I kind of have a little difference of opinion on it. We've talked about people whose wives have passed with breast cancer and how some of them, how quickly some of them started dating.
Yes.
And we were like, oh my God. Oh my God. I would never do that. Well, I don't think you can say what you would do until you're faced with it.
No, I don't either.
Now, I can say that for me, and you know what I have said to you, what is it that I told you if something happened to you that I would do?
Well, you said you would never remarry.
Yes.
You know.
But that I would have an occasional booty call.
Oh, my gosh.
I did say
but,
that.
Yes, you did. But, you know, I don't think it's for us to judge. I think it goes back even, not even breast cancer, but just grief in general. It's nobody's right to tell you how to grieve someone or how to get through that grieving process. I think everyone does it at their own speed. They do it their own way. And I don't think there is a right or wrong way to grieve.
You're right. I don't think there's a right and a wrong way to grieve. But, you know, I think that for me, talking about, you know, because we had the best of all outcomes. I mean, if you'll remember, you know, there was this wonderful, wonderful lady, Lillian Shockney, at Johns Hopkins when Julie went through her breast cancer. She was my saving grace. This woman was so knowledgeable, had battled breast cancer, I think, twice. And she was on the board there. And
The Avon Breast Center.
And this woman held our hand through every step of the way. And I would message her, and it wouldn't matter what time I would send it. If I woke up in the middle of the night and was just out of fear, she would respond to me. And so we had such a blessing. You know, we had Dr. Ted Sengaris, who was your surgical oncologist, who was the kindest, sweetest man, and who said, I just want to let you guys know from the staff here that you guys have changed the way people view people here going through breast cancer, because people here on this floor have said that you and your wife, that y'all walk in step, that's how close y'all are. And he said, I hope to find that one day. Do you remember that mm-hmm. conversation? He said, I hope to find that one day.
And then we had Dr. Corey, who was the radiologist.
Who was wonderful.
He had children my age or older, and he was just the nicest man, you know, and I remember looking at him and, you know, of course, I'm kind of questioning, am I making the right decisions? Am I doing what I need to do? And I looked at him and I said, but if I were your daughter, would you do this? And he looked at me and he shook his head and he said, if you were my daughter, I'd tell you to do the exact same thing. I remember that.
Yes. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I remember sitting there on that, you're sitting on that table in the, you know, in the examining room when Dr. Sengaris came in and said, now, Julie, you know, we can do this with a lumpectomy. Do you mm-hmm. remember that?
Yeah.
And do you want to finish the story?
Yeah. And, you know, at the time I had a 6-year-old baby,
mm-hmm.
and Todd and I had already made the decision that I was not going to have a lumpectomy because everything that we read. And I'm not saying that
you need to believe everything that you read.
Right. No, and I'm not saying that we are in any way medical professionals giving any kind of medical advice because we're not. We're simply telling our story. But when we read of a reoccurrence, majority of the time it was after a lumpectomy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was not willing to take that chance. And so we both decided that we were going to do the double mastectomy. Mm-hmm. And I think once we made that decision,
we were at peace.
We were at peace and we never changed our minds. And even though I've had some ups and downs with it and it was not easy, I still to this day don't regret that decision.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really don't regret that decision. I don't think it's talked about enough because so many people are so quick to just have a lumpectomy. If a doctor says, you know, we can do that. And you know, when you have a lumpectomy, you're going to have radiation. And so then you have to do reconstruction on a radiated breast. Then it makes it harder if you have a reoccurrence. And it just, it, there's so many different things that people don't talk about enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think they say, okay, I can do a lumpectomy. It's the easiest, it's the quickest thing, but you're getting radiation. You have to worry about clear margins.
Which, by the way, you never had to have. You never had to have radiation. You never had to have chemo because yours was stage one.
Yes.
Very early stage one. To the point that the doctor said, how did you know? Because there's no way this could have ever been detected other than through a mammogram.
Right.
And I said, because God told me. Now, folks, if you guys have listened to the podcast consistently, we've had several times in our marriage mm-hmm. that God has spoken to me and told me this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that morning, I had said to you, because you had wanted to go in and have a breast reduction.
Right.
And my thoughts were, folks, the bigger the titty, the better it is. And I'm like, why would you want to go smaller? I mean, and Julie was natural. She had had, you know, she had had at that point three kids. She had no sagging. I mean, they still stood at attention and got my attention every time she walked in the room. But she's like, oh, but it hurts my back. If I heard that excuse one time, I heard it a million. Todd, look at what the bra straps do to my shoulders. It just hurts my back. I'm tired of not being able to buy cute jackets.
But thank goodness that I felt that way. And thank mm-hmm. goodness that
God spoke to me.
Yes, that he spoke to you and that I went and had that mammogram.
And that's how we found it. And, you know, I remember you. You know, folks, Julie is just an anomaly. I'm falling apart, but I would not let her see it. I would sit in the shower and cry so that my kids wouldn't know. And then at night when everyone was asleep, I'd lock myself in my office and I would be on Google and I'd be researching trials and all this stuff over in the UK of what they were doing and what have you. And when we went in that day to meet Dr. Tsingeris, I had those reports. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And he looked at me and he said, are you a doctor? You remember that?
Yeah. He said, are you in the medical profession?
Yes. And I said, I have been since this diagnosis. And he said, well, I'm familiar with the study that you're referencing. He says, but, you know, that's not here. That's in the UK. And I said, I understand that. But here's what I need to ask you. And you know what I'm getting ready to ask, what I'm going to say. I said, I need for you to tell me that if you do a lumpectomy, that you can look at my six-year-old if we have to put his mother in the ground and say you did everything you could possibly do to save her life. Do you remember that?
Yep.
And he looked at you and he put his hand on your shoulder and he said, Julie, we'll do the double mastectomy. So that told me that he knew that the safest thing for us to do was the double mastectomy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, folks, I say we because I'm her husband. I'm the father of her children. And because she is, to coin a phrase that her aunt has said forever that we've always joked about, she is my soulmate. So therefore, I feel like I've earned the right to say we, but it was never really we, because I don't think that
it possibly could have been we.
Yeah, but I don't think that a man will ever be able to truly understand and sympathize with a woman who finds her femininity to be in her body and her looks and what have you,
mm-hmm.
to be able to grasp
yes.
what that feels like any more than you would be able to understand, well, if I had to have one of my balls taken out.
Yeah, it's true.
You'd be like, oh my God, Todd, you have another one, and that's one too many. You know, you wouldn't be able to focus on that.
You don't.
And so, you know, for me, I looked at you and had already said, God, no matter what it is, and you and I prayed about this, no matter what the results are, no matter how it may look, save her life and let us continue living. We had the best of all outcomes because you were stage one, low stage one. It had barely perforated the duct, mm-hmm. you know, to get out into your bloodstream, into your lymph nodes, which had no lymph node involvement.
Right.
It was estrogen fed,
Right. Which so was, we knew what the cancer fed off of.
Right. And your fish test came back negative. Mm-hmm. You had the best diagnosis that you could have if you're going to have breast cancer.
Right.
And then you had the head of every department. And that's what I want to touch on. Because we had the financial resources and the knowledge of and friendships of other people within the medical profession that got us to Johns Hopkins. Mm-hmm. You had the head of radiology, Dr. Khoury. You had the head of surgical oncology, Dr. Ted Tsangaris. You had the head of oncology for your cancer doctor. And you had the head of plastics, Dr.
Ged Rawson.
And your work was amazing. And, you know, you went now and you've just reduced the size of your implant. And it looks great because you're now, what, a week out?
5 days.
5 days out. But, folks, even after 5 days, you look amazing. And these, so many women out here don't have the access to that. So it's been easier. I'm not trying to minimize what you went through.
No.
But it's been easier for you being able to step out of a shower and look in a mirror and know that you've got beautiful breasts.
Yes.
Versus some women that don't have that.
So we all know how everyone is busy, busy, busy. And at the end of the day, the last thing you want to do is think about what you're going to cook for dinner. And if you're like me, you feel like I fix the same thing all the time. And that's why I absolutely love HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. They're America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh lets you skip those trips to the grocery store and makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. This week, we had the Southwest Chicken Sausage and Rice Skillet. It was a huge hit at our house. It was super easy to make, and my kids actually loved it. HelloFresh offers convenient delivery right to your doorstep for easy home cooking with the family. The recipes are easy to follow and quick to make with simple steps and pictures to guide you along the way. Literally, Grayson and Chloe can make these just by looking at the pictures and reading each one. And I absolutely love that. HelloFresh cuts out the stressful meal planning and grocery store trips, so you can enjoy cooking and getting dinner on the table in about 30 minutes or less. You can save 40% by using HelloFresh versus shopping at your local grocery store. Because I can assure you, if you're anything like me, you go to the grocery store and you always pick up things that you don't need. HelloFresh offers so many delicious options every week to help you break out of the recipe rut and try new things. And there's something for everyone, including low-calorie, vegetarian, and kid-friendly recipes. They offer high-quality, pre-portioned ingredients so you can make meals that are delicious and nutritious. HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying, which is a burden on the planet and your wallet. The packaging HelloFresh uses to ship your food is almost entirely made from recyclable and or already recycled content. Since they offset their operations, travel, and shipping emissions, HelloFresh carbon footprint is 25% lower than store-bought grocery-made meals. So keep your fridge stocked by adding extra proteins or sides like garlic bread to your weekly order. And you can easily change up your delivery days or food preferences. And you can even skip a week whenever you need. HelloFresh is also committed to giving back. Delicious food available now more than ever, and has taken extra steps to keep everyone safe, its employees and customers, with contactless delivery, tamper-proof packaging, and team member wellness checks. They've donated over 2.5 million meals to charity in 2019, and this year they're stepping up even more amid the coronavirus. So go to HelloFresh.com/confessions80 and use code confessions80 to get $80 off across 5 boxes, including free shipping on your first box. That's HelloFresh.com/confessions80 and use code confessions80 to get $80 off. I will say one of the things that I am most grateful for of having this voice and being able to tell my story is I was telling it, and my aunt, who's in South Carolina, had a friend. You guys know I'm from a very small town, a rural town, good, decent, working class people. And she had had breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And when she had breast cancer, insurance did not have to pay for reconstruction. So she was never able to get reconstruction.
It's the saddest thing in the world.
But, you know, that changed. Mm-hmm. And through legislation and, you know, now that your insurance has to pay for your reconstruction. And so I was talking to my aunt about it. Well, she passed it along to her friend. And her friend, after probably 8 or 10 years even, had gone all that time with no reconstruction and was finally able to get the reconstruction. And she said to my aunt, I thank Julie so much for passing that along, because nobody knows what it's like to have to live without, even though it's so, you know, so superficial to so many people. I think because our society has made breasts so superficial. But for a woman that doesn't have that option,
mm-hmm.
it made a huge difference. And that was a blessing, that just me being able to tell my story. She was then able, she got an appointment with her doctor. They're like, yeah, your insurance will pay for it now. And that is something that I think people did not realize, that women should have that option no matter what. Because they just should. Because
I think insurance is a racket anyway. Absolutely. I mean, we pay all this money for them to, for you to go into a doctor's office and them say, oh, your insurance doesn't cover this. Right. Well, then what the hell are we paying for, folks? Right. What are we paying for? Because it's the same with homeowners insurance, any kind of insurance. It's a racket.
Yep.
They're leveraging their bet that you will not have to use it. And then if you do use it, they're going to cancel you.
Yeah, sure.
So the whole thing is a racket. But I mean, you know, we've been blessed to, as of right now, because, you know, you were diagnosed in March of 2012.
Right.
So 8 years.
Right.
This March was 8 years and cancer free for
yes.
8 years.
Yes.
Now, they placed you on tamoxifen.
Yes,
and
a medication that I take every day that helps block my body's absorption of estrogen, because we know that my breast cancer fed off estrogen.
Right. And when we started this journey, they said, okay, you're going to take this for 5 years. And then as you started hitting that 5 year mark, as things do, the studies changed and improved and said, we have found that longer term use gives you such a buildup that if you go for 10 years, that it reduces your risk of by another 3% or 5% right. or whatever it was. And that's when you started having issues, when you started with tamoxifen, because you had never had an issue with your weight.
Right.
And you started having issues with you had gained 15 or 20 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then that became an issue for you.
Right.
On top of the breast cancer, it became an issue that you, A, had had a full hysterectomy because her cancer was estrogen fed. So we wanted to take every precaution. So I can remember saying, okay, Julie, you have to have a hysterectomy.
And yeah.
And she said, Todd, what are you talking about?
And I mean, and in all honesty, you know, Todd had the absolute purest of heart when he was saying, okay, you got to do this, 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 and this. Not really thinking about, okay, well, first of all, back up. This is my body.
Mm-hmm.
And
she reminded me of
second
that.
Of all, you know, you don't understand what he understands now, trust me. After having a hysterectomy and having no estrogen, he completely understands. So payback is a you-know-what. But I think in saying that, it's so much more than people
even think,
you know, people think, okay, well, it's just, you know, you're going to have your breast removed and, you know, you're grateful because the cancer's gone and, you know, and you're done. It's so much more than that. I mean, I am still 8 years and still dealing with issues, and people have it so much worse than I do. And that is why, you know, during Breast Cancer Awareness Month and every month, we have to talk about it. We have to make people aware. We have to keep fighting for research, because there has to be a cure. And we have to educate women, and we have to make sure that women are able to get a mammogram, whether they can afford it or not. They have to know that their life matters, and that they have to take their body and their medical
care
into their own hands.
Well, exactly. But let's go back to the weight, because that became the one thing for you that you focused on.
Yes.
And do you remember the day that I lost my shit on you?
Yes.
And what did I say to you?
That I should be grateful that I am alive, that I am cancer free, that I am, you know, able to watch my children, you know, grow up, and not so focused on the number on the scale.
Yes. Because, folks, my thing was that I was going to love you regardless. My love for you was not measured in weight. It wasn't measured in cup size. It was measured in the blessing that God gave me to be able to say that I'm married to you. And I remember saying to you that better you be 20 pounds heavier than you've ever been than for you to be laying in hospice 60 pounds less than you've ever been.
Right.
And that we will not base your success rate on how much you weigh. We will base it on the fact of how long you stay cancer free.
Right.
And that has been, Grayson is now 14 years old.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we brought you to the Four Seasons after we left Johns Hopkins, and how he asked if he could get in the bed with you?
Yes.
And how you two slept for 8 hours, and he had not seen you for 3 days.
Right.
And folks, anyone that knows that Grayson is her chosen child.
That's not true.
That is the truth. Now, just on it. Don't take a
beautiful. He's the baby.
He is her baby, and he is her chosen child. And he has never been away from her. And I think that you enjoyed, I think that you absolutely enjoyed all of our children.
Yes.
But you, Grayson, came along when we knew we were never having any more children.
Right.
And here we go, and he was, what was he, six, five and a half when you were diagnosed?
Yeah, 5 and a half or 6.
5 and a half years old when he was diagnosed, when you were diagnosed.
Almost 6.
And I remember when we let him come into your room there at the Four Seasons in Baltimore, how he looked at you and he came and touched your hand.
Uh-huh.
And he looked at me and said, "Can I lay with my mama?" And you remember I put that pillow between you and him, and I said, "Mommy's boobies have a fever, so they're sick, so you can't touch her." He said, "I want mama." And he held your hand on top of that pillow, and y'all slept for 8 hours. Folks, I will never forget that, because that is when I knew that everything that we did was for that moment. It was for that moment. And when I watch Grayson with you every day, and how she'll slip behind my back and act like, you know, do something for him that I've said, you know, "No, Grayson, we're not doing that." And how she'll go behind my back and figure out another way to where it doesn't come across as being the exact same thing. You know, it might be, "Daddy, can I go and do this on Friday?" "No, Grayson, you're not doing that." Well, then Judy will say, "Oh, I didn't know that you... I thought you just said he couldn't do it on Friday. I didn't know that he couldn't do it at all. I mean, I wouldn't have told him that he could do it, you know, on Thursday." You know, she's always looking for an out for him. And I don't come down on her for that much, or him, unless it's something serious, because I know that we were fighting to make sure that Grayson, you were here to raise him. And as you talked about our friend Lisa Bowling, who, God rest her soul, has gone on to be with our Lord and Savior, she wasn't given that. And so her two boys are left, and, you know, and Mark is doing a great job in raising them, and I love them dearly, folks. And Mark is remarried, and you know, I look at his life and think, you know, that could have been mine.
Yeah. She was diagnosed 1 month after me.
And so, you know, I think that for all of the women out there, and not just the women, guys, you need to step up. I mean, I remember seeing all of the, you know, the T-shirts that says, save the tatas, save the tatas. Save your wife. Save your sister. Save your aunt.
Mother.
Your mother. Save your girlfriend. Because this is not just a women's disease. This is our disease. This is our illness. Because women are the backbone of the nation, of the world. And we should be looking at women and saying, what can I do to make their life easier? What can I do to save their life, to prolong their life? And folks, listen, I would give everything that I have today and start over, you know, in an apartment if it was to save Julie's life. I would give it all away just to make sure that I had one more day with her. So for all of you families out there, and we get so many call-ins and emails and stuff about breast cancer, and all of the stories are not great. All of the stories don't end the way that yours end. And, you know, what I would say to you all is that our hearts go out to you who have lost a loved one. And for those that are battling this, if we can be of assistance with knowledge or getting you where you need to get to, you know, we're happy to do that. We're happy to post and put things on our social media that will give you information. And, you know, for women out here who are struggling, you know, with their own femininity and their own identity after, you know, having a double mastectomy that doesn't have that aftercare, you know, maybe we start, Julie, trying to put together a list and partnering with some plastic surgeons and what have you that would be willing to help some of these women. Right. So, you know, I think that with that being said, I think we've touched on breast cancer. And, you know, we'll move on to something maybe, even though it wasn't a light note, you know, it was a note that needed to be heard.
Everyone knows that 2020 is just 2020. But what does it mean for small businesses? Well, it means you have to do more with less. Suddenly, every single hire is critical, but there are fewer resources to find the right people. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed every month, Indeed is going to get you the most important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. So right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/CC. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed, Indeed.com/CC. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st.
So, you know, what's going on in the Chrisley family right now? You know, we have the Chrisley Christmas box coming out. Today was the first day of production of Chase and Savannah's show, Growing Up Chrisley. So they're back in production on that. And then we have two other shows we're going to be shooting after Growing Up Chrisley that are new shows, folks, that we hope you guys are going to love. And then we go back into production on season 9 of Growing Up Chris. I mean, Chrisley Knows Best. And, you know, so many people keep asking us on social media what's going on, you know, with our kids' relationships and things like that. They're all doing fine. They are all doing fine. And I have told my children to stay off of social media with their relationships. Because what that does is it invites millions of people's opinions into your relationship, which should be sacred between you and your partner and God. And there's no place for a third party's opinion, including Todd's. And have I not told them that?
Yes.
I said, I can give you advice on what I would do and on why the decision that you're thinking about making is probably not going to work out for you. But ultimately, that is your decision, and you will have to make it. And if the consequences are great, then we'll celebrate you. And if the consequences are not great, we're still going to celebrate that you had the ability to make that and recover from it. So, you know, all the kids are doing good for the moment. Mama's doing amazing, as she sat and told me that the only business I needed to be in was mine. Stay the hell out of hers. So, you know, she's doing good. Your mom and dad's good.
Yep.
So, you know, we're kind of all doing well right now. We're very blessed. So, you know, I think that with that being said, regarding the Department of Revenue, I got the most amazing message. It was actually, it turned out to be like 9 messages, one right after the other, I guess, because you can only use so many, do it so many times or whatever. You run out of space or whatever when you're sending it on Instagram. You can, I don't know, folks. Anyway, I got 9. It would have been an email, but it ended up being like 9 messages of where the Department of Revenue has started. You know, they've been posting all these jobs that they cut all these people from because the commissioner was trying to figure out who was telling me all of the illegal activities that were going on under his watch. At the Georgia Department of Revenue. Well, this individual who is still there sent me a bunch of information and some emails that, of course, you know, Alex Sponseller with the AG's office claims that he has never seen and does not have. Well, we now know that that's a damn lie, which we've been knowing that. But these that we just got were absolutely earth-shattering and amazing. And that's God again stepping out there and saying, okay, we gave them the opportunity to tell the truth. They chose not to. So here's the evidence that you need now to file your open records lawsuit and name these individuals, the commissioner, the AG, you know, to name these individuals and to take that to take that in front of a jury of 12. And let them see how the government there in the state of Georgia is working to hide and conceal evidence that they knew existed that exonerated my wife and myself regarding any tax fraud or scam that was going on with the Georgia Department of Revenue. Taxes, period. We've never tried to do that. But at any rate, you know, we also got substantial information, I guess, what was it, a week ago when we got all the phone records and stuff? We got all of that information, and now we have metadata on photographs that were sent to me of messages that literally proves the lies that were told, because now these photos are time-stamped and location. We have the location of when the photos were taken and sent. We have all of that information now. And so, you know, at this point, some people are not going to like exactly how this is going to play out. And some people are going to say, Todd, you should have stepped in and stopped this from happening. No, I'm not stepping in, because at the end of the day, the things that have been done to me and the rest of our family that have caused heartache and sleepless nights over their lies, their deceit, their jealousy, their greed, and just their own mental well-being. I mean, I just think that their mental health is at question at this point. That is going to all now be exposed. And so now all the tabloids that these individuals ran to and the bloggers that they had to write things about the family because they wanted to tear the family down. That was the whole goal here, folks, was for this individual to partner with Josh Waits and Michael Lambros, who was an attorney that was working with Josh Waits on these illegal seizures and taking money and slush funds and all of that. These individuals partnered together to destroy Chrisley Knows Best the family, each individual, even my mother. They even went after my mother, a 76-year-old woman. They set out to do this so that they could gain notoriety, and so the other one that was involved in this could tear the show down. That's what it was all about. But I want to make sure that the information that is going to be coming out and that will be picked up by the press, because that's what they wanted. They wanted to make sure that they put us out in the press in a negative light and then cried victim. And, you know, they were sad and, you know, didn't have anything to say. And we're not going to discuss this and whatever. They were sitting saying to the public, we're not going to discuss this, while privately sending text messages and getting on the phone, being recorded, by the way, folks, by the bloggers that was doing the blogs, of this information being dumped to them. So all of that's going to come out, and it's going to be sad, but at least the world will know the truth at that point. At least the world will know how we got to where we are and how heartbreaking it was for the involvement of those that were nearest and dearest to us that did this. It's going to also show the level that the Georgia Department of Revenue went to in order to gain more notoriety for Josh Waitz and for Lynn Riley, who was the commissioner at the time, and for other individuals, Stacey Guest, Scott Graham, Scott Purvis, Amy Doherty Hines. These individuals were looking to rise up in the ranks by destroying us. And the sad part about it is in that list of names that I've just given you, several of those people have now come forward to turn over evidence to us to prove what I'm saying to you. So we now have that evidence that that's what they were doing. We know that they forged federal documents. We know that. We have that. We have that testimony. And they did that in order to set us up. Now, I know all of you folks there in Georgia are listening to this to find out what is it that they have. Just know we have it. And just know that we know how you've tried to use it against us and how you've manipulated facts, that you've lied, you've altered federal documents, and you've instructed for evidence to be destroyed, evidence that we have. So at the end of the day, all of this is going to come out in front of a judge. And the day that it comes out, we're going to turn it all over to the press. And it's going to be all over the country. People's going to see how this whole thing started. They're going to see how this individual started in May of 2017 and started in March of 2017 with Josh Waitz to have him to come to our house and serve us while, you know, they were texting with them from within our home. It's going to show how that it went from March from Josh Waitz to May to Lambros to a multitude of other text messages and phone calls. It's going to show how Josh Waitz colluded to fabricate evidence and to manufacture his whole story here. Now, folks, here's the irony of this. Josh Waitz is currently being investigated by the Office of the Inspector General for crimes, felonies. These are felonies, folks, that these folks at the Georgia Department of Revenue have committed. And they're being investigated for them. Amy Doherty Hines was let go in a reduction of force, only to be turned around and rehired because of individuals that she ran with within the Georgia Department of Revenue. But what they don't know is that I have evidence or information that Amy Doherty Hines wanted to sue the Georgia Department of Revenue, and she wanted to bring a discrimination suit against them, against her own boss that she has right now, who has no prior tax experience. So I have all this information, and I'm going to put it out there, and it's all going to come out in January. And so let's see, Amy, because I know you listen to this podcast. I know what you have written up about your fellow coworkers that are still there. I know what you what your plan was to sue the Department of Revenue, and then they turned around and rehired you. But they didn't rehire, folks, all of these hardworking people that was there that was let go that they used as an excuse for a reduction of force, thinking they were cleaning house of all the people that was talking to me. Guess what, Mr. Curry, Commissioner? You were not successful. Stacey Guest, you were not successful. Scott Purvis, Scott Graham, not successful. Because I still have people within the Department of Revenue that is still giving us information as well. I mean, information as of this past week, to where you said you didn't have information on emails, but yet the emails we have. So the Department of Revenue, folks, is represented by the Attorney General's office, Alex Bonseller. So Alex's response is always, I'll need to get with my client, which is the Department of Revenue. No, you don't need to get with your client anymore, Alex, because you know they have lied and you've continued to allow them to lie and you've continued to cover for their lie. And these are the things that the Georgia Bar Association needs to be made aware of, and that criminal charges need to be brought for spoliation of evidence, for lying and saying you don't have evidence when we know that you do, because here's the real shit kicker. Someone who has a conscience within the AG's office has made this information available. So with that being said, now start scurrying around and trying to figure out who has released this information privately and given it to us so that you know. Stop blaming it all on a former DOR employee. Now, there were plenty of those. And yes, they've come forward and they've turned this evidence over to us. But now, there's a shithouse rat higher up that wants to see individuals within both organizations taken down. So I know you're listening. I know you're saying he's probably full of shit. You'll find out in January how full of shit we really are. But with that being said, folks, that's our update on the Georgia Department of Revenue. So we're now 3 minutes and 29 seconds over our podcast time. So I want to thank each and every one of you. We love, appreciate, respect every person that tunes in each week to, you know, Chrisley Knows Best, to Growing Up Chrisley, and hopefully these other two shows that we're working on. You know, we do have
got new episodes in November.
New episodes of Chrisley Knows Best in November. We also have a YouTube channel that's coming out for your cooking.
Yes.
We have a YouTube channel that's coming out. It's an advice YouTube channel of me talking about every topic that you come and sit down with us with. We're going to pull certain people that send us information, and we're going to have you to come and sit down and do these interviews live with me on my YouTube channel. Grayson has a YouTube channel coming out, and Savannah has a YouTube channel coming out. And Chase has his candle line, which is now, you know, officially
launching,
I think it's next month.
Yes.
It launches next month. And I mean, I was so proud to hear that he's only doing, it's a limited number, and they've already reached the limited number. So, you know, I'm so grateful for that. So grateful for each of you guys, because without y'all, it wouldn't matter. So again, until next week, give grace to everyone that you come in contact with, because you don't know the struggle that's behind that smile. Lift each other up, love each other, and, you know, it takes more energy to say something negative than it does to say something nice. So remember that. Until next week, good luck and God bless.
Best Western made booking our family beach vacation a breeze, and it felt a little like time to go. Okay, kids, back in the room. You gotta come on, guys. Good night. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.